This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Every day we get them. I think we get them every day, whether it's, you know, social media, private messages, just, you know, I know a lot of guys are fearful to even put anything out on social media because every response is going to be, you know, obviously the cheater comments, and then you know, just people take it way too far with death threats to not only myself, my wife, my kids. You know, it's just it's way out of hand to where it's getting a little crazy. So it makes you really wonder what, like, going to some places where it could be very dangerous outside of the ballpark to even bring your family.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
And we have barely scratched the surface of spring training, but Josh Reddick speaking for many of the Houston Astros late last week, talking about how they're facing death threats and people are still really incensed. Now, every single time a pitch comes close to a member of the Astros while he's in the batter's box, there's going to be speculation about whether or not that hitter was targeted. I don't know that it's safe to come out yet, but we're going to try. We're going to talk a little Astros, but also try to get on to some other baseball topics. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. What are the movies and TV shows you've never seen, but when you tell people, actually you don't really want to tell people because their reaction is so incredulous, almost as though they've lost respect for you when you admit it? On Twitter, A-Law Radio, or After Hours CBS, and producer Chris is retweeting some of your answers. And you can also send your questions for Ask Amy Anything on either Twitter or on Facebook. Your answers are cracking me up, and we'll get back to some of those. But I want you to hear my conversation with longtime baseball infielder Billy Ripken. Yes, that Ripken family, who's on MLB Network and now has a book called State of Play, The Old School Guide to New School Baseball. But before we talked about his book and the role of analytics in the game, I asked him, is it safe to talk about anything else besides the Astros and their sign-stealing mess?
Well, it is quite the mess, and it doesn't necessarily have baseball looking its best, but I do believe once this passes, and it will, because everything usually does, once we get through the Boston Red Sox investigation as well, I do think baseball is going to be better off for it, because I think this is going to allow, you know, both sides, the Players Association, the commissioner's office, to put some rules in place where if something like this happens again, some of these penalties are going to be even steeper than what were handled out.
What's your reaction to what we've seen in the wake of the commissioner handing down his penalties to the Astros, the uproar that has seemingly grown for weeks inside Major League Baseball?
I think some of the players have enjoyed labor peace for a really long time. And I think that some of them calling out individuals or calling out other players, that's a little bit out of the norm of what has happened in the past. So with a CBA coming up, it does make me scratch my head a little bit, because I think they're probably all just better served just to get ready for spring training and go out and play. Look, I get why people are upset. I really do. But I don't know if that's the best thing moving forward for players to continue to talk about this when you could just say, look, that's done with. It's over. It's fair to say that the 2017 Astros World Championship is tarnished. That will be talked about that way for 30 or 40 years. It's fair to say that some of the individual players for the Houston Astros' reputation has been tarnished, and they're going to have to deal with this in their own way. So for me, I think it'd be best just for all the players to kind of go out there and get ready for spring training and get ready for the season.
with all the extra technology that is in dugouts and in clubhouses now, there are whispers that the Astros weren't alone. There are other teams out there employing these same methods, also using technology to steal signs. So, Billy, do you believe it? Do you believe that it's happening elsewhere on a regular basis?
Not like this. I believe, and I always said, back in the day, if you're playing against another team, you're staring out there at the other team and you're thinking, okay, what are the poker players' tells that I can pick up on? But if you were back in the Old West and you were playing poker with somebody and you put a mirror behind that dude and tried to look at his cards, I don't think that would have ended up very well. So I think there is ways to look across the field, you against them, and try to pick up certain signs. But, you know, using a CIA operative out there in center field, then decoding signs, banging on a trash can to do it real time to relay pitches to the hitter, has certainly gone over the top. And I do not believe that everybody's doing it. I don't believe that necessarily a handful are doing it. I think what the Astros were doing was unique, and I believe they got popped. And now I'm waiting to see what happens with the Red Sox investigation. But I can't imagine more teams going into spring training or going into the season this year thinking about ideas on how to do this better than what they did.
We're spending a few minutes with longtime Major League infielder Bill Ripken, now with MLB Network. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Before we move on to other baseball topics, Bill, what should baseball do about the technology that is available and accessible, partly because of replay, but it's there in dugouts and in clubhouses? What should the commissioner do about that?
I believe you get rid of all technology down by the dugout. In fact, I don't think the manager needs 30 seconds to challenge a call and then have three more minutes where the umpires put on their air traffic control headsets behind home plate for a call. So let's get rid of the replay room down there. If you still want to have replay, put a former player up in the booth, and within 10 seconds, he's going to make sure 80% of the plays are out or safe within 10 seconds by watching one replay. So every close play gets looked at, and you spend a total of 10 seconds on it before we move on. But putting that equipment down there, giving teams iPads in the dugout, and then saying, but you can't hook up to the internet, that's like putting a plate of brownies on the kitchen counter in front of kids and saying, don't eat those brownies.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Here's the 2-2 on Mike Trout, and he hammers one at deep left field. It is Trout here. He cleared both bullpens right there, smacked it out, no doubter, number 43 of the season, RBI number 100.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Are you ready for baseball? I'll be excited when the boys of summer return to their actual ballparks in spring and get started playing games that matter. And it'll be fun to see Mike Trout and others club the baseball. Terry Smith on the Angels radio network. So much attention is paid to numbers. And it's not just the records anymore. Now it's analytics. It's these crazy acronyms that I couldn't even tell you what they mean if I had to keep my job based on that. And yet, we know analytics are here to stay. How do you balance the two? Analytics plus the experience, the instincts that come with being around respective sports for a long time. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, picking up my conversation with former big league infielder and new author Billy Ripken. He's got a book called State of Play, The Old School Guide to New School Baseball. And if you just heard his comments about the Astros, well, you know he's worth listening to. He's got some wit, some sarcasm, but also some great insight. I asked him about the title of his book, State of Play. What does that mean?
Well, I think we've been very clear over the past few years that how much the new school has infiltrated the game and how the analytics, whatever that may necessarily be, has entered the game. And there's just been this implication in my world that people thought old school baseball guys just threw the bats and balls on the field and said, go get them. But we never did that. We've always used numbers. we've always used information to come up with a plan. In fact, when I discuss anything in this book that may debunk or dismiss some of the terms that are being used in today's game, I use numbers and information to make my point. I just don't say DRS is a dumb thing. I say DRS is not a good thing, and here's why it's not a good thing, and it makes no sense to me.
When you consider the access to all of these numbers and analytics, what should be the proper mix in a clubhouse for a manager? How should the numbers be used?
Well, let's just put it this way. Okay, you're my new school front office, and I'm your old school manager.
Okay.
And you have the reputation of being more of an outside-the-box thinker, and I have more of a reputation of being an inside-the-box thinker. So I will accept any bit of information you give me, but then you have to, in turn, accept that if I don't use your information, it doesn't fit in my baseball world. If your information is good, the inside of my box will grow over time because you'll give me some good nuggets. But if you give me 10 nuggets and I send 9 of them back upstairs and use one of them, I don't want to be confused as being rigid or an old school unable to conform. I know what I'm talking about in the baseball world. I'll use the information you give me, and if it applies to baseball, I will use it.
In light of that, then, what are some of the numbers, the analytics, that you believe are valuable tools for managers?
That's a good question. I don't know if I'm going to cite any specific new stat. I think what I would like to cite is information is good. So the fact that we have more information at our fingertips is good. In the old days, we would look at box scores out of the USA Today, and we would say, okay, we're playing the Yankees. Don Mattingly's hot. Dave Winfield's not. So guess who we're pitching to? And that's information. So if you can give me more information and maybe more specific information on different players and what I'm seeing or what has been seen as a trend with the different players, that's fully acceptable. But some of these new terminologies and stats, if you want to talk about DRS, WAR, these are numbers that don't mean anything to me because they're too contradictory of one of themselves in the first place. So I don't really need to discuss an individual's defensive run save capability if I have eyes on him and I watch him play defense for myself.
He's Bill Ripken, longtime Major League Baseball infielder, and has a new book out called State of Play, The Old School Guide to New School Baseball, which includes so many of these numbers, some of which I don't even know what they mean. Do you think that alienates fans in today's game, Billy, when there are all of these acronyms and analytics that a lot of people can't grasp?
I think in some ways they do, and in some ways there are more and more of these letters that go up on scoreboards during the course of the game. There's one out there that's called Weighted Runs Created Plus, WRC Plus. And basically the plus stands for adjusted in the world of the new world thinkers. So weighted, created, and adjusted are three qualifiers that mean it's not real. So when you put that kind of stat up on a board and you use it, that can only confuse a baseball fan because three out of the four things in that, weighted, runs, created, and plus, runs is the only thing that's real, and the other three qualify it in a way that makes it not real.
Oh, man, some of my listeners are going to love this because I know they feel the exact same way. The term old school, when did that become synonymous with outdated, Billy?
You know, I don't know. Obviously, there's been some new people that have entered the game and have had some success. So baseball's like other things in life that's a little bit copycat-like. But what's really cool about it is, you know, we started talking about Houston. If we just go back to them prior to any of this happening, they were considered to be this new analytical group doing things different than everybody else. So I've answered as much questions about Dusty Baker being the manager of this team more as much as the sign-stealing gate. And the question usually revolves around, well, what do you think about an old-school guy moving into an analytical organization? And I said, Dusty Baker is very analytical. If you sit down and talk to Dusty Baker, he will talk baseball. And part of analyzing things that might go on in baseball is breaking down problems and then solving them. And believe me, Dusty Baker will do that. But Dusty Baker will also tell you what I will tell you. Don't bring that DRS down here and expect me to use something that doesn't have any place in my baseball world.
It's really interesting. You mentioned Dusty Baker. What other managers in the game do you think balance the wisdom that comes with experience along with the numbers that people like to talk about?
Well, I think there's quite a few in the game. You know, Joe Girardi's back in the game now with Philadelphia, and I think he's always been a guy that's been very prepared. He probably brings as many binders to the dugout as any manager does, including the newest of new school managers. A big fan of Terry Francona, Joe Maddon. Buck Showalter was up for a couple of interviews this past year and didn't seem to get it. And I love telling the story about Buck Showalter. When he managed in the minor leagues, his wife had colored pencils, and she was charting the opposing hitters in the minor leagues with colored pencils to have a spray chart on where they hit it. So to think that the old school guy doesn't use numbers or information is kind of just an unbelievable misgiven to the old school people out there that are still in the game.
Billy Ripken played over a decade in the major leagues. Now he's on MLB Network and has a brand new book called State of Play, The Old School Guide to New School Baseball. He's with us after hours on CBS Sports Radio. You talk about the analytics. We've seen an influx of numbers, people, and managers even that don't necessarily come from the baseball side of things. How has that affected the product that we see on the field?
You know what? It puts a different spin on it. And it's going to present some problems, but it's also going to present some good things, I believe. But I still hold on to the fact, if you watch the game, if you just watch the game and don't listen to it, you see a game that's very similar. My father always said, you hit it, pitch it, catch it better than the other team, and you win. And that still holds true in today's game as it did in the 1960s or the 1970s. And a couple throwback-looking things that happened last year in the World Series, even though Houston claims to be a new wave of thinking, they had a bunch of starting pitchers that they ran out there. The Washington Nationals, they used their starting pitchers. Oh, and by the way, the Nationals also used an old-school look of their 3-4 hitters being what they used to be in yesteryear. Your best hitters hit 3-4, and their 3-4 hitters were better than everybody else's during the playoff run, and ultimately they went on to win the World Series.
There's all kinds of trends that have been charted. One is home runs being up. Another is strikeouts being up. And the commissioner is worried about the pace of play and appealing to younger generations of fans. Billy, does the game still appeal to fans, the game that you see?
I'm of the mindset I don't think there's as much wrong with the game of baseball as other people seem to think. I mean, I get some of the new innovative ways and trying to speed it up a little bit. But on my side of the street where I reside, I don't know the difference between a 305 game and a 302 game and a 258 game. I believe that they're all okay and they're good. So you get me out to the ballpark and I see two teams play and they play crisp baseball, I'm going to be good with that. I always understand the idea of trying to tweak things, try to present a little bit more unique product on the field, maybe to energize some people. But really, from where I sit, I think this game's still pretty darn good as we move forward.
I think you're right. For fans who still make time to get out to the ballpark, it's the same game, has the same appeal. For me, it's the soundtrack of summer, and I always enjoy having that slower pace of life when I'm sitting in the seat at the stadium. The book is called State of Play, The Old School Guide to New School Baseball by Bill Ripken, former major leaguer, current MLB Network analyst. Thanks so much for a couple of minutes and your insight. I appreciate it.
I appreciate you. Thank you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.